everyone. This is Sam McClary, Deputy Editor of EG, and this is the Bricks and Mortar podcast. And joining me today is Ashley Wheaton, who is Principal and Chief Executive of the University College of Estate Management. Hi, Ashley.
Hi there, Sam.
So I wanted to invite you onto this podcast because I wanted to find out a little bit more about the University College of Estate Management and how some of our listeners, if they haven't heard of you, can get involved, and if they are looking to learn more about the built environment, about estate management, why they should look to you.
I mean, there's all sorts of ways in which, you know, UCM is helping people to build and develop their careers across all sorts of built environment disciplines. I should probably just start by talking about the types of things that we offer, and then talk a little bit more about how you can study flexibly with the institution and make sure that you could also stay and work whilst you carry out your studies. So we have a number of different programs at varying levels of study. So at the low end, we have a diploma program, which is the surveying technician program, which is what we would call level three. So that's effectively equivalent to an A level. And that allows, you know, younger students, probably those leaving with GCSEs at age 16, to embark upon a two-year program of study, which would get them up to a diploma in surveying, that would actually allow them to go on and quite shortly after that actually sit their assessment of professional competence with the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors. So get them really from a very early start in their career to associate membership with the RICS within 3 years of starting their studies. Above that, we have a number of undergraduate programs. Those are full-blown bachelor degrees, typically studied part-time by our students. So it usually takes 4.5 years. And those are typically, again, studied by those that are already in work. They may be on an apprenticeship route and they may be sponsored by their employer, but they're across a number of different disciplines. We have surveying disciplines, both building and quantity surveying. Then we also have undergraduate degrees in real estate and also in construction management. Some students will study those full time. So you could embark upon those as a three-year degree, but typically they're studied more like sort of 4.5 to 5 years because people are trying to fit them in around their day job.
It's interesting that you talk there about people being able to sort of work and study at the same time, because one of the big barriers, particularly in creating a diverse workforce within this industry of ours, is the cost of studying. And if people can work and study at the same time, then that makes that one little barrier just a little bit lower, doesn't it?
No, it really does. And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk, isn't there? It's a very high profile subject at the moment, you know, the cost of higher education and whether students get value from that. I think what we offer is totally different than mainstream higher education, in that, you know, the funding is lower for starters. So, you know, the cost of a bachelor's degree with us is around about £10,000 less than perhaps you would expect in a traditional university. But as you say, more importantly, you can study while you work, and in fact 97% of our students are in work whilst they're studying, and that opens up not just the flexibility to study whilst remaining in work, but of course it means you might be able to fund your own studies, or you could pick one of the other funding routes. So large numbers of students now coming through undergraduate level on degree apprenticeships, which is a fantastic scheme where your entire undergraduate degree is funded through the apprenticeship program, or perhaps they're sponsored by employers who are willing to take on you know, members of staff and sponsor them through their degree program. So it's a great way into, you know, higher education, because many of those routes are effectively funded in a way that they're not elsewhere.
And because you're accessible like that, are you finding that you're also attracting people who might work it currently in adjacent industries or industries that are completely different, and they've seen you, they've seen what's going on in this phenomenal industry of ours, and thought, oh, hang on a minute, there's something really tangible and exciting that I can do within the built environment.
Yes, definitely. Is the short answer. I think we see some really good examples of people who are perhaps in later stages of their careers seeing the built environment or seeing the professions in the built environment as being more attractive. And so, you know, the other offer that we have is to bring across what we would call those with non-cognate first degrees and offer them a postgraduate program, which is typically done over 2 years. It can be done a little bit shorter than that, and that effectively allows you to transfer from one industry into the built environment. It qualifies you to sit your APC, but you can get there in a relatively short space of time. So we are seeing a lot of people transferring industry, but I would say we've also got some great stories about people who have begun work in an employer that is in the built environment but maybe not in a kind of built environment capacity, if you like. So people who perhaps joined in their finance department or their human resources department who've seen that they would like a career here, and we're seeing quite a lot of people coming up through our programs who are already employed by those employers but who are now beginning to embark upon their own professional qualifications as part of that.
That's fantastic. And I know you and I spoke earlier in the year, back in February, about the skills shortage and how it was fast approaching crisis level. So it's great to hear that people are upskilling and moving into new areas. One of the points that we were talking about way back in February was this need for collaboration for the industry and different training bodies to come together if we're really to solve that crisis, which I think is an excellent way to look at it. And there you were right in that conversation we're having, that there are so many different aspects to the industry and so many different bodies out there, and if we can get one united voice, then we might have a crack at solving the problem.
We might. you're absolutely right. I mean, I think the crisis that you've described is arguably deepening anyway, and evidence that's been presented subsequent to when you and I spoke last time shows that even just in the construction sector, within the built environment, we have 158,000 new roles that will need to be filled over the next few years, as well as continuing to effectively recruit for around 200,000 existing roles per year. So, you know, it gives you a sense of the scale of the problem. One of the things, as you know, we were trying to do was to bring together the various bodies who are engaging in this agenda. It's very fragmented. Lots of people who are participating, but perhaps in isolation. A couple of things have happened in the last 6 months or so, which I think are really positive. The first is that we have taken over the sponsorship of what was an existing educational body for the built environment called the Construction and Built Environment Education Advisory Committee. It's a bit of a mouthful. We are trying to rebrand that and make it a little bit more friendly to engage with, but we are now very much at the heart of what that committee was doing, which is it's bringing together around 30 or so representatives from industry, from education, from the Department for Education, to help enable a much more wide-ranging conversation. And I would say that whilst it's still early days, that conversation is really gathering some momentum. At the last event, which was back in September, we had a really good discussion, for example, with the Department for Education about T-levels, which we know is going to play an instrumental part in solving, you know, some of the skills gaps that exist, particularly within construction. So I feel like we've made some good progress in that regard. Perhaps the even more exciting initiative, which we'll be launching later in November, is the acquisition of a community interest company called Building People. Building People's kind of reason for being, if you like, is to join the dots and to pull all of this stuff a little bit more closely together, and certainly not to reinvent any of the great work that's already going on. And with Building People, the intention is to build a marketplace for a built environment, employees or people who want to express an interest to work in the built environment, to help them navigate the various job and career opportunities that there are, and then to connect them either with employers or with the many, albeit fragmented, but very worthy organizations that have a very specific focus. So, for example, it might be on young surveyors, or it might be on ex-offenders, or those personnel coming out of the military. I think, what's exciting here is that there are already a lot of very worthy organizations. I've mentioned a few of them already, that are working with particular sections of the community to help them into careers in the built environment. So that could be ex-military, could be those coming out of social care, ex-offenders, even the unemployed. But what they don't have is a coherent way in which to represent that to those people who are interested in careers or to talk to employers. So the whole premise behind Building People is to create a marketplace that will allow already existing organizations to kind of work better together, and certainly will allow individuals to express a preference for a career or a job in the built environment, to help people understand a very small amount about them, where they're based, what sorts of things they're interested in, and then allow those other organizations that already exist to kind of take over and help those people find a job. So the aspiration is to have, in excess of 10,000 people registered against the Building People platform in the next couple of years, and then allow that to snowball and greater engagement to happen over time as more people begin to participate from the employer and the kind of professional body aspects to do with the built environment.
That sounds amazing, and hopefully I suppose you'll see that growing with people who maybe don't know anything about the built environment and come across and Building People and think, oh, hang on, there's all sorts of wonderful things that I can learn how to do in this industry, and there's a role for me somewhere regardless of my background and my skill set.
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think the whole thing is designed to help, I suppose what we would call atypical people, to come into the industry that we would miss out on otherwise. This whole, agenda around widening participation and diversification of our workforce is absolutely critical. Not least because if we keep just looking in the same areas for future staff, we just won't find enough. There are many more people required, as well as, of course, a much more diverse and rounded set of employees. So, I'm really excited about the prospect of finding people out there who didn't know anything about the built environment or the careers or the professional roles that they could play within it, who now express an appetite, to want to play their part in taking this industry forward.
Fantastic. So if you were offering some advice out there to listeners who were thinking about potentially getting involved in this market, what would you offer up to them?
Well, I think that don't be put off by what you preconceive is what this industry does. I think that the way our industry is moving forward, it is probably more progressive than just about anywhere else you could work right now. The future of the built environment is totally different than the one that we know today, and the skills and the types of people that we need in it are also totally different. A great example is if you look at the rapid rise of manufactured and built either on or off-site buildings. That's an entirely different skill set than we used to need when everything we built was from bricks in a muddy field somewhere. So, that is coming at a rapid rate of knots. And of course, in real estate, this is, there's a huge amount of technology coming very thick and fast, as well as data, which is beginning to transform the types of roles and the types of skills that are required, to work in those industries. So I think I'd encourage people to sort of perhaps throw away some of their preconceived ideas about what this industry is and really open their eyes to where it's going, and the exciting future that it has ahead.
That's fantastic. And if people want to find out more about UCM and about building people, where should they go?
Well, if they come to our website, that's ucm.ac.uk.
Excellent, Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bricks and Mortar podcast.